Freddy and the Foul Encounter. Most days when there is no rain and it's not wet and cold again, the foxes up on Ten Tree Hill on holiday from hunt and kill go for a stroll, enjoy the sun. And vixens, not to be outdone, emerge from their burrows, stretch and say, "My, oh my, a lovely day! Perhaps I will relax a bit down by the riverside and knit a jumper for the winter, or just chat to others in our habitat." You'll find them near a sandy beach, too hard for fishermen to reach, where parents watch their youngsters play, gossiping the day away. Freddy, lazing in the sun, lay apart from everyone, listening to a dragonfly who happened to be passing by. When suddenly, why, bless my soul, a looming, darkened shadow stole across his closed and dozy eyes. He gaped, agog at the surprise. There, standing by him overhead, an oversized Rhode Island Red. As it stood, so huge and proud, around its head swirled wisps of cloud. Purple lipstick ringed its beak. It must have been to a boutique, for it had green and bluish feathers, and on its feet wore chicken leathers. One boot per claw, tied with a bow, and on its cheek some chicken glow, purchased in some makeup store, supplied by Mr. Christian Dior. Most chickens have a bright red comb, which wobbles when they peck the loam. But perched upon its head there sat a grey-cum-orange baseball hat. 'Twas high up there and seemed to read, "Thanks, Monsanto, for the seed." So chickens, we're able to confirm, can now be sponsored by a firm, grow big as houses and as fat, provided they will wear a hat. Poor Freddy was quite flabbergasted. The awestruck, startled feeling lasted several minutes. Then he said, "I see you're a Rhode Island Red. How is Rhode Island in the spring?" "In chickenese, this ain't the thing." "Well, haven't you at some time said the first thing entering your head?" "You cheeky youngster, what's your name?" And out the name of Freddy came. "What are you doing in my field?" "It's where we play." "Oh, no, it's not. It is a picking field, that's what. We use this spot for healthy meals, remembering how the fresh air feels, and lay our eggs in free-range state, the natural way to incubate." "Your eggs must be humongous size, hard for me to visualise. Miss Hen, would you now be so kind?"
"Mrs. Henley, if you don't mind. Hens who lay eggs are always wed, though thankfully the burden's spread. Them cockerels strut and peck at corn and wake the neighbourhood at dawn. They have uncomplicated lives, persuaded chicks to be their wives. These facts, I'm sure, are new to you, but that's what cockadoodles do."
"Mrs. Henley, can I speak? Can you explain the purple beak, the green and blue, the funny feet? Excuse me, am I indiscreet?"
"You addlehead," the chicken said. "You unobservant quadruped, don't you by now realise I'm here in secret, in disguise? I want to make this crystal clear. Men are not to know I'm here. They're searching for me near the ground. So to ensure I'm never found, I've dressed myself up, as you see, with leaves and twiglets like a tree."
She raised her wing and glanced around, alert for but the slightest sound. "But why," asked Freddy, "what can be the reason for this mystery?" And she, to little Freddy awed, replied,
"The Egg Production Board."
A silence followed, and the bird sighed such a sigh you've never heard before in all the history books. With quivering beak and downcast looks, she started to explain for why she feared the humans passing by. and why she was so keenly sought, and what would happen were she caught by management. Oh, lordy lord, of the... Egg Production Board. And Freddy, raised to be polite, didn't think it would be right to point out, "Chicken, if you will, higher than even Ten Tree Hill, your lipstick shines a purple ray that can be seen 5 miles away."
"The reason why I'm in this scrape is my dramatic shock escape from a huge egg factory called Sunnyside Up, where they've been picking on the harmless picking chicken. This Sunnyside Up's comprised of pens made up of wire which holds us hens, and constant bright electric light means there's never day or night. And down a chute they shoot some corn, never a fresh worm from the lawn. We never feel the wind or rain, just the same boring corn again. I think it's biotech mutated, enough to make me aggravated. The worst of it is sitting there, immobile, with some idiot near who squawks and chatters all the day, and there's no means to get away."
"And you live there in those conditions, laying eggs in prone positions?"
"Ah, yes. Until in such a rage, I upped and burst out of my cage. Wrenching the metal, there I stood, erect and proud as chickens should, and striking first before they'd time to comprehend my daring crime, I overpowered the guards and flew right here till I encountered you."
"Did others of your kind escape, or did they merely stand and gape?"
"Good question, lad. They didn't flee. They were too dumb to follow me. I have to say, twixt me and you, your chicken has a low IQ. It takes a rather special type to take a serious sideways swipe at human beings with their power, as I have done, not sit and cower, lay one more egg and act the stoic. No, no, I guess I'm quite heroic."
And whereupon she struck a pose, hard to describe, except in prose.
"You know what happens when one dies? I'm sure it comes as no surprise. You're chopped into your breasts and thighs, then cooked and eaten with French fries. No, we really have to take a stand, believing in our values and the rights of chickens to be free, not to become a fricassee."
And then, a wing across her breast, the chicken did what she did best. Standing there so tall and proud, she sang the chicken anthem loud.
"Oh, liberty, of thee we sing. God save the blessed chicken wing."
Young Freddy listened to her text and asked the hen what happens next. Yes, wave the flag and beat the chest, but isn't taking action best?
"You think this chicken's chicken, right? You think I talk instead of fight. Let's overthrow the board's regime. What do you say? Are we a team?"
Freddy felt trapped, felt in a box. Since when has hen been helped by fox? Yet if she wished, she could step out and flatten him from tail to snout. Besides, despite his grumpy scowl, Freddy's heart bled for those fowl, locked up in that place of doom, force-fed with corn with little room. "Why, yes, I'm with you, dearest hen. The question is, with what and when?" The chicken sat upon the ground, and thoughtfully she pecked around. She frowned, she grimaced and she sighed. She moved her head from side to side. Freddy could see the frightful strain of working with such little brain. It soon came clear the feathery seer hadn't the foggiest idea of how to tackle such a task, and was in truth too proud to ask. Then up stood Freddy on some rocks, at last the clever, wily fox, and whispered in the chicken's ear so no one else for miles could hear, "What we need is to revamp that evil egg production camp. We'll adopt the Athenians' plan when fighting Troy, and if we can, we'll fool the humans.
gain admission, and thus your friends will win remission. A wooden horse is not the ploy. There is no time, this isn't Troy. But I recall your words to me, they'll think I am some sort of tree. So let us take them by surprise and dress you up in true disguise. Now on Tentree Hill he found some pine tree branches lying round, and he began from head to knee to change her to a Christmas tree. He fixed a sprig to tail and wing till absolutely everything was covered up to reproduce a tree like a Norwegian spruce. Now for the tinsel, lights and candy, some Christmas crackers would be handy. We've streamers, little hanging things, and angels with those paper wings. And if I can sneak into a shop, a Christmas fairy for the top. But Mrs. Henley, shut your beak! Christmas trees aren't known to speak! Nearby, a truck had just been parked. The driver had now disembarked, so Freddy Fox, without permission, got in and turned on the ignition. And slowly, pretending he was calm, he drove towards the dreaded farm, with Mrs. Henley perched there praying, on the tailboard gently swaying. And from the decorated bird, throughout the journey, Freddy heard,
"Oh, liberty, of thee we sing! God save the blessed chicken wing!"
Soon the grim entrance came in sight, where they intended to alight. Barbed wire was piled beside the road. Along it, grim-faced sentries strode, and high above the gate there sat a haughty guard in green tin hat. A huge black dog with bloodshot eye was promising to modify the limbs of casual passers-by. 'Twas quite enough to petrify. "I have here," cried Freddy, "a donation, subscribed to from around the nation, to thank you for your contribution to worldwide foodstuff distribution. You sell at an attractive rate. That's why this country's truly great. Chicken was pricey, hard to keep. These days the chicken breast is cheap. And now in all the poorest homes you'll find in trash some chicken bones. This Christmas tree's in recognition of the end of malnutrition. Enjoy, for you'll find hanging here Christmas gifts and holiday cheer." The sentry thinks, "Well, love a duck, a fox of that age in a truck. Oh, let him through, let's have some fun," and puts aside his loaded gun. The barrier rose, and with a grin, Freddy thought, we're in, and Mrs. Henley? Heaven knows, for she can't see her wings or toes. She cannot clear her throat or speak, or scratch an itch, or blow her beak. The guards now quickly gather round, grabbing what candy can be found. And as they reach and pull and pluck, she fears the plan will come unstuck. Meanwhile, Freddy, unseen, heads towards the massive chicken sheds, and throwing wide the wooden doors, releases happily the scores of hens, who, far from flight, are more than ready for a fight. Sudden freedom can confuse. They gape amazed at Freddy's ruse. Then massive phalanxes of fowl stop their gossiping and howl. "Allons enfants de la patrie, chicken shall at last be free." Appalled, the workers in a trance watch as the feathery flock advance. Can they resist both peck and claw of 20,000 birds or more? They load their weapons. They're the sort who use their guns without a thought. Aim fire at random, comes the call. But firing is no use at all. Still birds advance, and one man cries, pecked on his throat, his head, his eyes. The battle lines shift to and fro, beak to hand and blow for blow. Headless chickens run around, their beaks still clucking on the ground.
And Freddy, emptying the last cage, rushes to the center stage, directing all the thwick and thwack of furious hens in mass attack. The camp commander, drowned in feather, cannot to his flank see whether fresh birds are rushing to complete what starts to promise swift defeat. The battle rages. Suddenly appears the aforesaid Christmas tree, advancing with its tinkling gear to take the camp guards from the rear. It reaches nearly to the sky, where other chickens can espy a fairy and a lighted star. Below, a positive bazaar of gewgaws, gifts, and on its toes are tied some golden Christmas bows. The two sides stopped. A silence fell. What happened next, I cannot tell. For Freddy heard a gentle sound which drowned the hubbub all around. Wake up, Freddy. Dinner's ready. He started, drowsy and unsteady. Life soon resumes, dreams disappear. But this song lingers in his ear.
Oh, liberty, of thee we sing. God save the blessed chicken wing.